there anyone else here today to speak in support of the bill?
Good afternoon. I almost said good morning.
I should have asked for other legislators before.
Oh, actually, I prefer to have Mr. Dinsheim present the bill a little more before I spoke. Senator Hobbins, Representative Hink, and distinguished members of the Utilities and Energy Committee, my name is Diane Russell. I represent District 120 in the main House of Representatives. There's been a lot of technocratic issues that have been brought up, which are very important, but I want to talk to you less about the technicalities of this proposal as reproposed under the modified legislation, and more about some of the experiences that I've had out in the communities, which I think are important as we look at the vision for the state and our philosophy behind where we're moving. Over the summer and the fall, I spent much of my time traveling the state, doing community discussions and speaking with folks around the state. I was up in Aroostook County and Washington County a couple times. I was in Western Maine, Southern Maine, you name it, speaking about clean energy and Maine's opportunities around moving toward a cleaner energy economy. And I was really moved by the excitement that I saw in the eyes of people, regardless of political or generational or geographic backgrounds. People in Maine really understood and understand how critical clean energy is to our future and to our economy. I remember I've spent more than a decade spending time in Washington County because all of my friends are from out there. And every time I go out, the question is, when is the mill going to close? Well, I went out this fall to Machias, and they had put together, the ladies of the area had put together a business expo, a green business expo. And the president of First Wind, Paul Gaynor, came and spoke. I had the opportunity to speak. And I'll tell you that for the first time that I've been out in Washington County, there was not only hope, but a concrete vision for their economy. And I think that, and it was almost entirely tied into the idea of developing a green and clean economy. People were excited at the idea of bringing wind power and tidal power to the region. So the reason I share this with you is that every day I get a set of clips in my inbox all around energy and climate issues, of all the clips that have come through the state. And when I first started out talking to folks about clean energy and energy efficiency, which is my particular strength and passion, the clips were about 85 to 90% in our favor. Meaning that folks were, the news was out there talking about clean energy, the clean energy economy in a positive light. And today I was reviewing the clips, and about half the clips were not so nice. The public perception, I'm concerned, may be changing. And the reason I'm particularly interested in this bill is that I think one of the reasons that public perception is changing is that we have so much wind power being developed that people had high expectations and false expectations individually about what they were going to get out of it. As you can see, a homeowner, you know, just assuming that they were going to get a rate decrease because it was in their backyard. They didn't pay too close attention. They weren't at the meetings, but you know how town gossip happens and people chat and they just assume that that's going to happen. The reason I like this new presentation is that it standardizes what people's expectations are around wind power development. And I think if we see solar power developed or other forms of energy developed, that we should be exploring ways to make certain that that we have a set of standards for those as well. So one of the things that I'm concerned about is that people may assume that they're getting a bunch of outcomes, tangible benefits. When those tangible benefits do not come into fruition, the question, you know, that's when doubt starts stemming into the community, coming into the community. And I'm concerned that some of that doubt is beginning to present itself in the media, and that's our gauge for public perception. And moving forward, I think that standardizing what people's expectations are will not only make it easier for developers to understand what to expect in their costs. But I think it'll make it easier for municipalities and regions to make better decisions about whether this is a good choice for them or not. You know, we all have our benchmark people, our people that are sort of our bellwether folks about what's going on, and my mom is one of those bellwethers. And back in my hometown in Bryant Pond, they are considering a small wind turbine farm, which is only 3 turbines, so it will not meet this threshold. But some of the very same questions are coming up. Well, what are we getting out of this? You know, what is a benefit to our community? Is it, are we going to get a lower rate? Are we going to get a new ball field? What are we going to get, and how do you define that? And so as you look at these larger farms, those questions are exponentially more important. Making anything that we can do to clarify the language, to standardize the process, I think we're going to be in a better position long term to attract new development and to make certain that our communities that bring in those new wind power developments are in a better position to support things, because there's no ambiguity, there's no vagary around what people expect out of the development. So I think I'm just advocating in general that this is a good principle. I'm not going to go toe-to-toe with any of you on the technocratic details, because that's not my strength. I admit where my strengths are. However, the principle behind standardizing this, I think, is going to go a long way toward preserving public perception about this long-term vision that I think that many of us here in the legislature and certainly around the state share. I would like to see every region of the state have opportunities for economic growth and to reduce our carbon output, and also to really just become less dependent. I mean, when you think about it, every time you fill up your car, you're funding both sides of the war. So any opportunity that we have to be able to reduce that paradigm is a good thing. So I want to take up no more of your time, and thank you for speaking.
Thank you, Representative Russell. Any questions from members of the committee? Representative Ed Wayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Russell. I just want to ask a question, since you're at the podium. It's sort of a general question for all, but I've expressed this already to a few, and I generally support the concept here. I think it's a real good run of the issue. It runs up against sort of a general a principle that I have, which is I don't usually like to see dollar signs, like a particular number, $14,000 or whatever, in law, without some mechanism to allow us to adjust that or change it.
I brought up that same point this morning.
Or you know, that by setting a standard, that's great, but, you know, the free market people would say, well, what if suddenly people decide that they want $30,000 and somebody's willing to pay that, but we've just let them off the hook for $14,000. So I'd like to get a little bit of a further discussion of that at the work session, and if you have any thoughts on that, or if others have put thought into it, please offer that at the work session, and if you have any comments.
I am only going to speak, obviously, for myself, so please don't misunderstand that the sponsor or anybody else shares this thought. I had the same exact question this morning. How do you put a mechanism in place that allows that to increase? And perhaps the answer isn't a dollar symbol. Perhaps it's some sort of a calculation that can be put into statute. But I think that I'm not really convinced that it has to be a dollar number, or that it has to be specifically a formula, but I think that we need significantly better clarity in what that tangible benefit is. I support what NRCM proposed, but I think that if there are other options that can be put on the table, and I would certainly want Mr. Dittesheim and Senator Mills to answer in their own respect, but I just want to clarify tangible benefit.
Taking the opportunity to ask while you were here.
Yes, no, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.